All right, so basically here's how this works. We'll find this out a little bit later as we go, but yeah, here is a lady who is a Samaritan, but she was discriminated against or made fun of or outcast by her people because, again, as we find out in a little bit, she had had five husbands. So whether you want to consider that a garden tool or a prostitute or whatever verbiage you want to put in there, the fact of the matter was, here's how this plays out. In biblical times, women could not divorce men. Men could divorce women. And so basically what the men of Samaria had said is, you're worthless and go away five times. So the people of Samaria were like, oh, well, obviously if five men say it, you're worthless. Okay? All right, so verse 7, it says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Probably because she didn't know him. Samaria was a really small village. Yes, Alex. Just like a group of people, like Oklahomans and Texans kind of thing. It's just another village. Oklahoma. Yeah. All right. So, she said to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? So, we all know Jesus is a rabbi, right?
No.
No. Okay, what does rabbi mean?
Jewish teacher.
Okay, so was Jesus a rabbi? Was he a Jewish teacher?
He
was Jewish and a teacher. They called him rabbi. Yes. So, Jesus was a rabbi. Here's the deal. It was illegal not only for a man to teach a woman, but for a rabbi to speak to a woman in public. Let me tell you how crazy this was. Okay? Men, husbands, would not speak to their wives or daughters in public because it was frowned upon.
Why?
That was just the rules of the culture. Okay? That's why, like, in the Gospels, when it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000 men, the women aren't counted. Okay? They were like nothing. The long and short of it is, basically, women were considered liars, period, no matter what happened. Okay, so for Jesus to turn around and say, okay, here's the deal. I understand that you're a Samaritan and I'm not supposed to like you. And I understand that you're a woman and I'm not supposed to talk to you and it's actually illegal for me to talk to you. I don't care. God doesn't care about society's rules. Okay? My dad tells me all the time, he grew up, okay, y'all have heard the phrase, the wrong side of the tracks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My dad grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, and he talks about it all the time. There was a part of Amarillo that he was supposed to grow up in and a part of Amarillo that he wasn't. It's the same kind of concept here. The part of Amarillo he was supposed to grow up in was all the white people. The part of Amarillo he grew up in was all the black and Hispanic people, and that was the wrong side of the tracks. Okay, this is kind of the same deal. Jerusalem was the right side of the tracks. Samaria is the wrong side of the tracks. Jesus went to the wrong side of the tracks and said, I don't care what society says. I love you and I understand that you have a need and I have the answer to that need. That's a really long story. Basically, they were half-breeds from like way back when. Instead of just being Jews that basically married Jews and had Jewish kids, they were Jews that married outside people and had half-Jewish kids. Hence the term half-breeds.
But people do that all the time.
Now. They didn't back then. So, if we look at Galatians 3:28 for just a second, It says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus obviously understood that long before Paul ever stated it. Okay, he's showing it, and then Paul says it later. In verse 10, it says, Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Verse 13, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Verse 15, the woman comes back and she says, please, sir, give me this water, and I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. So this lady is like, I never have to come to the well again. I don't have to draw water again. I don't have to do this in the hot of the day anymore. I want that. She's thinking in earthly terms. This is where she's focused. Obviously, Jesus is speaking of something way, way different. And he's about to explain to her the difference. So verse 16, it says, go get your husband, Jesus told her. Now granted, we already heard part of this story, but she comes back to him and she says, I don't have a husband. Why would Jesus say that if she didn't have a husband? Why would he tell her to go get her husband? To see what she'd do? Yeah. So down to verse 8, or into verse 17, it says, Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you're not even married to the one you're living with now. You definitely spoke the truth. Did she really tell the truth? She told like half the truth, right? Isn't that how we work? Like, Mom, did you clean your room? Yeah, Mom, it's clean. What'd you do? Like, shove it all in the closet? It's like half clean. Like the room's clean, the closet's not, right? So we'll do half the job and tell half the truth. That's kind of what she did. I'm not married. It's good. I'm good. So it's even more interesting because Jesus comes in. He says, hey, yeah, you've had five husbands. And the guy you're living with, you're not even married to. This is a twofold picture. A, he's saying, obviously, you're not married and you're living with somebody, you're living in sin. But more so, when we dig in, we find out this is actually the sixth guy that's rejected her. Because he's living with her, he's getting all the perks of this, but he refuses to ask her to marry him. He's saying, yeah, let me have the cow, but I'm not paying for it. I want all the perks of a relationship and of marriage, but I'm not paying for it. I don't want the commitment. I don't want the marriage. She's turning around. She's looking for love everywhere she's not supposed to be, and she's still not happy. She's still not finding it. Verse 19, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. She's like, you just read my mail. Every single down and dirty secret, you just read my mail. Obviously, there's something special about you. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem's the only place to worship, while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if there's pretty lights. It doesn't matter if there's a cool stage. All that matters is who. I get it that this church doesn't look like that church, or this room doesn't look like that room, or that this band doesn't sound like that room. The fact of the matter is, none of that matters. All that matters is the object of our worship. Verse 22, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes to the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? In spirit and in truth. Any ideas? It's self-explanatory. Ken, if it was self-explanatory, I wouldn't ask. In spirit and in truth. What does that mean? You act like how you say. Okay.
You say how you are.
In spirit. It's got to be authentic. It must be real. It's got to be all involved and not just something you do. Hey, Sunday morning we do this worship thing, we're done. It's not just something you do. It's actually a real, authentic part of life. And then in truth, again, it's not about where. It's about the heart of the worship. It's about what is actually going on in your heart when you worship. And here's the best part. I lost it. It says, the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God's actually looking for people who actually are going to worship him authentically. He's like, I don't really want more people to show up in church on a Sunday morning and play games with me. I don't need that. I've had that for 2,000 years. I don't need people to fake it. I don't want you to raise your hands just because the person next to you is raising your hands. I don't want you to go to the altar because the person next to you went to the altar. I don't want you to do something just because it's a ritual or it's what you're supposed to do. I want somebody that will actually worship me because I'm God. He's looking for it. Verse 24, God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. She still doesn't get it. This prophet is sitting here, just read her mail, told her the deepest secret that she was trying to hide, and she still looks at him and says, It's okay, I understand what you're saying, but at some point, the Messiah's coming. He's going to explain everything to us. We'll understand then. Apparently. Jesus clears it up for her. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. He says, that person that you're looking for is right here. That person who's going to explain everything to you is right here. You're right. You said I was a prophet. You don't understand. I am the prophet. He says, I'm king. I'm the Messiah. I'm God. I'm the object of your worship. So again, it doesn't matter if you worship in Jerusalem or on this mountain. The fact of the matter is, it's who you worship, and I'm him. Stop looking everywhere else. Stop waiting for other things. I'm right here. Go to the 1 Peter scripture. Here's where we need to focus. It says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. He's telling us we need to watch the way we act. Because the unbelieving neighbors that are there around us, we're there to witness. And if we're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, then they're going to know the difference. The board back there says the call to missions. On the right-hand side, it says this is our mission field. And it's got all the schools listed there. We need to be careful. Hey, give me that scripture back. We need to be careful to live properly among the unbelieving people in our schools and make sure that we're giving a witness in full spirit and in full truth that leads people back to Jesus. So here's where we're at. We're going to worship something. In some way, shape, or form, we're going to worship something. Jesus has said, I'm the Messiah. So my question tonight is, are you going to worship him or not? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm good. This is this Sunday, Wednesday thing that I do, this game that I play, and I make my parents happy, and I go home, and I do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it. So Emily's going to play a couple of songs. You're going to be given the opportunity just to worship. Lights off, everything's quiet, nobody worrying about what's around you, what's going on. The question is, are you going to worship in spirit and in truth? Or are you going to keep playing games? Because God's looking for people who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. So are you going to be that person? Or are you good just being somebody else who plays games with God? Let's pray and then we're going to worship. God, we long to be people who want more. God, we want to be people who worship you with everything we have and everything we are. We don't want to play games. We don't want to fake it. God, tonight in this time, I pray that you would cut off all distractions. You would eliminate any obstacles. You would just allow us to see you sitting on the throne at the right hand of God and worship you with everything that you're due. God, bless this time, and may it be to your glory, for you're the only one who is worthy of all honor and all praise. Amen.